a bunch of people who've like never met each other's parents before.
Draw each other's
moms. Not even draw, no. Describe. Like a Shabbos meal where you don't know a single person. And yeah. Like you have to say, like everyone has to say their name. And then based on like impressions, everyone has to like describe their mother.
That would be funny.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that by saying like neurotic, overbearing, overprotective. Wow. Does it sound familiar?
Wow. Just all Jewish mothers?
I wouldn't say, my mother is no longer overbearing in that I have to call her to get any response from her.
So we're in Chumash class, we're doing, like we're each assigned a plague and have to like sort of, using the methodologies we've been learning in class, like present on it and do like a chavrota for the whole class and then 20 minutes up top, up front, like whatever. And I was like learning Tzfardeya today, which happens to be like in this week's parsha because it's one of the first seven plagues. And I'm like, oh my God, this is so good for the podcast. I was like, oh, this slaps. This week for next week, it's all coming up Milhouse.
I'm so happy for you.
And it was great. Thank goodness. I learned so much about frogs this week. Like literally just today, I've learned so much about frogs. Frog Torah is my new favorite Torah.
Oh, tell me more. What have you learned about frogs?
Well, I feel like I can leave it for like...
Have you seen those frogs that hatch out of the back of the other frog?
No, that's disgusting.
It's so gross. That was such a... I'm so sorry, future Valerie, for the noise I just made into the microphone.
Love you, bro. I feel like I can talk about the frogs. Like, it sort of applies to this week's parsha. I can give my mini drush.
You don't want to just tell me like a quick fact about frogs? Well, do you want to watch this video?
About them hatching out frogs the back? I really don't want to watch that. Please don't show it to me. Please don't show it to me.
Please watch it. You have Valerie, to watch it. It's so gross. Please don't show it to me. Please don't show it's it to so me. Gross.
I don't want to see it. I don't want to see it. I don't want to see it. I don't want to. Oh, it's loud. I don't want to see it.
I don't know that the sound matters.
No, thank you.
You have to watch. Shoshana, look with your eyes.
Weirdest.
Can you see it?
Why aren't you watching?
I am. Blech.
This is disgusting.
Can you believe?
Why does it look like bark? Blech. Oh my God, I hate
it. Those are the holes for the babies to come
it's
out
disgusting.
Of.
Disgusting. Holy shit.
It's so gross.
Oh.
They are little eggs that live on their back and then they develop into frogs and they hatch out.
Why do you know that this exists?
I don't know. Why don't you know? Because I used to spend a lot of time on YouTube.
Like just like hanging out the top.
That's
like
a generational difference between us.
I used to hang out on YouTube all the time. I just wasn't watching weird frog pit, like frog vids.
You weren't like Googling like bears having sex or like.
No, were you?
Not me. But my friends would like be like,
let's look up animals having sex. That's so, you need new friends past Valerie. That's weird.
Yeah, she did.
I will say that that is strangely aligned with the best midrash that Rashi brings of the
Rashi
giant
knew.
of the don't, giant frog.
Don't tell me something that's going to make me like Rashi, okay?
No. You know, okay. So basically up until the plague actually happens, when it refers to the frogs, it uses the plural form, like Tzfardeim, uh-huh. Like with the Yud Mem at the end. Mm-hmm. But then it's like, and the plague happens and Aaron put out his hand with the stick and whatever. It says like Hatzfardeya, like the frog came out, and it uses the singular. And Rashi brings two different things. One is obviously his own like pshat, his like simple point, which is that it was just like like the way that they were a swarm. It was as if one frog, you know, like.
Mm.
But then he also brings midrash, which is like one of the funniest, like most famous midrashim that like everyone loves. It was one giant frog that came out of the Nile. And when they hit it to get rid of it, it like exploded into
a bunch of little frogs.
A bunch of smaller frogs that then infested.
I love that.
And so that's what
it's
that's
like.
It's like
a rat king.
I'm sorry, what?
It's like a rat king where the rats all, right? A rat king. Oh, Jesus.
Please don't Google something else is going to upset me. I don't want it. Valerie, no. Valerie, stop doing visual aids on
a rat king is a collection of rats whose tails are intertwined and bound together by one by several possible mechanisms.
Disgusting.
Yeah, you want to see a picture?
No.
Well, too bad.
Oh,
this
I
is what it looks like.
It.
They get all
disgusting.
Stuck together. Anyway, so then it's like this big, massive rat. It's exactly like that.
I don't like that.
Rashi knew about rat kings.
It's
Do
almost,
you think he knew about pizza rat?
It's almost. He actually spoke about pizza rat in Shmuel Aleph.
Okay, I'm just going to start right now and I'm going to say. Oh, well, I guess we have to do the intro to the podcast first.
Hi, welcome to Pop Culture Parsha,
where we irreverently discuss reverent texts. I'm Valerie, and this week I'm Pizza Rat.
Nice. I'm Shoshana, and this week, very fittingly, I am Aaron.
Okay.
From the substitute teacher sketch from Key and Peele.
Oh, okay. I'm there.
Aaron.
Yeah. Why is that fitting?
I'm sorry. Who is Moshe's brother and features in this week's parsha?
Oh. I didn't know you were going to be like that. What do you mean? This week, I am fittingly. That's going to be fitting for the next 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, you could have chosen Pizza Frog, but you didn't.
Because there is no Pizza Frog in pop culture. It.
Pizza Frog.
I'm sure there is now.
Oop, I wrote. Did you find anything? I wrote Frong.
Well, there's definitely no Pizza Frong in pop culture. Ooh, look, there's this weird like drawing of a rat king. I'll send.
I don't
want to
see
you.
It.
I'm sending.
I see a picture of a frog that has pizza superimposed on top of it to make it look like its skin design is pizza. Love that.
Interesting.
Do you think at fancy
this is like the Sphero but with rat's tails?
Why? Please stop sending. Like, you've just WhatsApp me pictures I don't want to see. Valerie, no more, please.
That's it. That's all I got. Okay. Well, I can't. Blee Netter.
Chef is selling Tic Tacs now.
That's,
I love that.
Good
for
news
him.
For you.
I love orange Tic Tacs a lot.
Isn't that in a movie?
Juno. I like the before Juno. You know that orange is my favorite flavor of everything, first of all.
What? No, I didn't know that, and that's really upsetting.
Why?
Because the red is the best flavor of everything.
No, I love orange flavored everything. Orange is always the best flavor. And it works out well for me because everyone likes the pink or the red flavors. And I get all the orange.
I guess that does work out well for you. Meryl, there's no accounting for taste.
Meryl gives me all of her orange Mentos. Sorry, Mentos.
I knew what you were saying.
Did you? Anyway, how are you?
You know, I'm getting through it. I watched 2 Jumanjis in the last week.
Oh,
so
you did watch the
I watched the original
the
as
OG.
Well. Yarden refused to watch the new one with me. She watched like the first half hour.
She didn't like it?
I don't know. She felt that she could walk away after half an hour without.
Yeah, that's fair.
I mean, but it's not like with Noah where we watched the first 15 minutes and we were both like, absolutely not.
Yeah.
It was like, we watched the first 30 minutes and it was fine. And then Yarden was like, okay, I'd rather go to bed. And I was like, oh, I guess I'm watching the rest of this movie by myself.
Nice.
And then we did watch the original Robin Williams version
it's
together.
It's scary. And I think, and again, we had this conversation with other people in our lives. Who we agreed that like the only thing that makes the Robin Williams one good is nostalgia.
I disagree, but I guess we can talk more about it.
We can.
So this week we watched Jumanji.
Well, this week's parsha is Parshat Va'era.
Was that directed at me? That felt really
well. No, I call it
targeted.
I have to be very specific about saying Va'era because that's what it is, and there's also Parshas Vayera.
I can
and
see.
And you can slip very easily into confusing those for one another, but it's Va'era.
Got it.
Anyway, so Parshas Va'era.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens in this week's parsha? It starts off with the four expressions of redemption that are most commonly seen or we're most familiar with.
This is probably gonna be your longest parsha recap ever.
Why?
Because you know too much about this parsha.
I don't know that much, I promise.
Okay,
also
I'm
my
so
last my longest was last week where you interrupted me every 35 seconds.
Yeah, we were like 30 minutes into the podcast and we hadn't started talking.
Yeah, because someone kept interrupting my parsha summary.
Ooh,
so it starts with the four expressions of redemption, which are Hotseiti, Hotsalti, Ga'alti, and Lakachti, all words that Hashem used to describe taking the Israelites out of Egypt. And God will bring us from the enslavement and redeem us and bring us to Har Sinai, where we will get the Torah and then onto the land of Eretz Yisrael, which he had promised to our forefathers, etc., etc., etc. Then what happens is Moshe and Aaron come before Paroi and they ask that Paro lets go of Bnei Israel, you know, like they let my people go. And then because like God wants them to go and like serve him. And then Paro keeps saying no. And then Aaron turns his staff into a snake. and then so do the magicians. And then the magicians, their staff snakes get swallowed by Aaron's staff snake.
Kind of like a rat king. Or
literally nothing like a rat king.
Or like a giant frog that turns into a bunch of little frogs.
No, nothing like that.
It's kind of like it.
Is it?
Yeah, I think
is it? So. In what ways, Valerie?
It's a bunch of little things becoming one bigger thing.
Duh. If anything, it's reverse giant frog because it's like a staff swallowing two other
staffs.
I'll
accept that.
So I'm pretty sure there is.
I'll accept reverse being kind of like.
No.
Yeah.
There is a midrash, I'm pretty sure, that says that Aaron's staff turned back into a stick and then swallowed the snakes.
That's
which made
crazy.
It even more of a miracle. But it's been a long time since I read the little midrash says for Shemot. I was always a voracious kind of gal.
You know, technically his rod would be made up of a bunch of little sticks. So that would also be
Stop talking about Aaron's rod.
Don't make it weird.
You
okay.
made it weird, bro. You called it his rod. Rod.
Okay, keep summarizing the parsha.
Rod.
Excuse me, we're never going to get through this.
and then we hit the plagues. The plagues come. That was actually a pun, an English to Hebrew pun, because like lahakot, like hikar is to hit.
Okay.
And makot, maka, like maker, all that stuff. It's a pun. I'm telling you it's a pun.
Well,
makot comes from like the word for to hit.
So I'm sorry, the pun word.
When I said we hit the plagues.
Oh, okay. I'll accept it.
You're welcome, viewers, listeners.
I think you're going to have to like draw a diagram for the
you
Instagram.
Are welcome.
Did you post our casting?
Oh, I didn't do that.
Oh, Shoshana, I have to do everything for this podcast.
I don't have a template for it. And the only thing can I show you? Pause.
So, Mallory, you're the reason we didn't get through the whole parsha summary last
week.
You
can cut this out because again it's all visual.
Interesting.
But yeah, anyway, you can cut all that out because the t-shirts are a surprise.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, so we've hit the makos, the 10 makos, and the first one comes and it's blood, and the water of the Nile turns to blood, and all the water in Egypt is blood, and they can't drink any water and everyone's thirsty. Then tzfardea, bunch of frogs come out and they swarm the land, and it uses the word swarm, and they come out of the water and they're everywhere. They're in Paro's bedroom and Paro's house and his bed and his servant's house and the whole nation and in their ovens and their bread bowls. And then lice comes and it infests everyone. And then wild animals invade the cities. And then pestilence kills all of the domestic, like the cattle and the sheep and stuff. And then after that, boils. They get boils everywhere. And it's very, and I guess it hurts a lot. And then after that, the seventh one, is that seven? Blood, frogs, lice, animals, pestilence, boils. Yes, the seventh one is like brimstone, like fire and ice comes down from the heavens. And destroys a lot of stuff. And then at the end of the parasha, it says, and Pharaoh's heart was made hard once more, just like God said was going to happen.
Well, yeah, because isn't it God who's doing the hardening? Or not in this case?
I'm not sure if it's up to that one yet, actually. I didn't check, but I can check.
Cool.
That's it. And that's the parasha.
Excellent parasha summary. Thank you. I feel like I was there.
You were. You listen to me do it.
No, I mean in the parsha. Okay, so this week we watched Jumanji.
Jumanji. You have to say which Jumanji.
Well, so Shoshana is a slacker, and so she watched Jumanji Welcome to the Jungle. Because I go above and beyond for this podcast, I watched the new 2018 version Welcome to the Jungle. And no, I'm literally looking at a page that says 2018, dude.
2017.
It says 2018 on this page.
2017.
Bro, where did you get that information?
I don't know. I just thought I'd annoy you for a bit.
Okay, I think you're wrong. It was released in December of 2017.
Oh! Well, 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 Valerie.
Well, why
well,
is this?
Well, 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 well.
Okay, we'll take it up with SonyPictures.com.
Well, 2017, like Shoshana said.
Again, I didn't come up with it off the top of my head.
Interesting.
It says it on the page. Again, you can take it up with SonyPictures.com. It was released for streaming in May of 2018.
Interesting.
Stop it. Okay, so the summary for... Should I do the summary for the Robin Williams one first, or should
yeah,
I do
sure.
the summary? Okay. So this one, the summary on IMDb is when two kids find and play a magical board game, they release a man trapped in it for decades and a host of dangers that can only be stopped by finishing the game.
Nice.
Kirsten Dunst is in it. Robin Williams, directed by Joe Johnston.
Yeah.
And then we have Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle. So do you should I not trust Sony Pictures, and should I instead...
Dude, go to Wikipedia.
Well, Wikipedia brought me to the original one.
I will say that I didn't watch the old Jumanji this week, but I watched it like 2 months ago with my family friend who had never seen it before. She is 8, so it makes sense that she had never seen it before. She didn't like it. She didn't really get it.
Technically, this one is the sequel to the one that I watched, which makes sense because it starts with the finding it on a beach.
I think it's more of like a reboot.
Okay. According to your favorite website, Wikipedia, it is a direct sequel to Jumanji 1995.
Fine. I'll take it.
The story focuses on a group of teenagers who come across Jumanji, now transformed into a video game, 21 years after the events of the 1995 film. They find themselves trapped in the game as a set of adult avatars seeking to complete a quest alongside another player who has been trapped since 1996. So that tells you that it is a sequel.
Yeah, but it's not the same player from...
No.
It makes reference to the original, like Alan Parrish is mentioned.
Yeah. Anyway, do you think that the game like morphed itself into a video game, like in order to stay current? Are you fucking kidding?
Valerie, that happens in the opening scene of the movie. It literally, Valerie, it happens.
No, but I guess what the question that I'm asking you is the game like cognizant?
Yes,
like
it's literally like the kid in the beginning who's in 1996. His dad hands him the board game, and he opens it and he goes, "A board game? No one plays those anymore."
Ah.
And then starts playing the video game.
You're so mean. I didn't get that.
It's literally the opening scene, and then like it.
Yeah,
transforms.
I'm sorry. I wasn't. I'm sorry. Opening scenes are historically like not very important. Like it's just
joking?
An opening scene.
It's like a whole prologue, and then it's like there's this like magical light, and when he opens it again, there's a little game cartridge
right.
that he puts into his thing and plays.
I was confused by that.
Oh my
cool, now I get it.
Out. Here's my thing with the opening scene, because I paid attention when I was watching it. If things magically appeared where things weren't there before, I would simply not engage with that thing. If I heard like creepy jungle music and then like, oh, I found this game cartridge that I know wasn't there to begin with, why would I fuck with that? You know?
Because you're not very interesting.
Wow. I think it's because I'd be scared.
Well, yeah, because you've seen Jumanji.
Not because I've seen Jumanji, but because like just in general, why are people always so ready to engage with like dangerous things? You know? People need to use their seichel. People need to use their head. Use your head. Just think through for a second. This could be dangerous for me, you know?
Are you saying this to Pharaoh in reference to when Moshe comes and says, we want to go worship our gods? And then Pharaoh's like, actually, no. That's why mess with something, with a dangerous thing?
I have my own thing with Pharaoh, which we're discussing next week. It's how we chose next week's text. But that's besides the point. My point is that maybe Jumanji Kid was stupid for playing that game because it appeared by magic and he shouldn't mess with it.
I just feel like if a game appeared by magic, I would even more so want to play it.
Fair.
Anyway, what I think is crazy is that like then the 10 years later, 20 years later, did you watch Zathura, A Space Adventure?
I'm sorry, an adventure film starring Kristen Stewart that I haven't seen? Valerie, think things through before you say them.
But it says that it's...
Zathura is like a spin-off-ish.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's basically the same idea.
Huh. Anyway, I interrupted myself. What was I saying?
I don't know. You brought up Zathura. Something about the 20 years later.
Oh, when they find the game, it's like... cool that it's like dusty, like stuck in a bag. So that time Jumanji doesn't like evolve for them because it's already started as that little Atari game.
Well, also I think because it didn't encounter any pushback if they had seen that on the shelf and been like, this isn't a mobile phone game, maybe it would have evolved them. But like, it got them in on the first try.
Wow. Great.
The inner workings of the psychology of the board game. Cool.
What is it that they say in Harry Potter? Don't trust something where you can't see where it keeps its brain.
Exactly. The famous words of Arthur Weasley.
Yeah. AW, my main man.
Yeah. Alrighty, should we get into some...
Yeah, let's get into some comparisons.
Some comparisons. Here's the reason we chose this. I think it's the most obvious one. Wild animals. Encountering wild animals was the main point, but then that thesis sort of evolved in that, like, in this week's parsha, we have seven different plagues that all do different things to the Egyptians and cause different harms and whatnot. And in specifically the new Jumanji that's based on a video game, there's different levels, like, of the video game that they have to get through. So they have all of these different challenges that they have to go through that one could say are similar to, like, the different plagues that go through.
I mean, I think that, like, in the old version, they also, but it's like every time a player has a turn.
Yeah.
It's just, like, different because the other one is set up like a board game where each person has a turn, and then as each person rolls, they, like, encounter something that then they have to deal with. But what's weird about the original one is it's, like, a little unclear, like, how you, like, defeat something to, like, move on to the next level. Yeah. Like, it's, like, you kind of just have to, like, get through it and then keep going.
And still, like, face those other things.
Right. And when Kirsten Dunst tries to, like, finish, like, there's, like, a quicksand thing. And when she tries to, like... skip that by going to her turn, the game, like, gets mad at her and it like tells her she's not allowed to do that.
Right. I guess this sort of they don't try and, like, defy the game in this one, I will say. But I think another interesting thing that this one adds is that because it's a video game and they're playing, like, avatar characters, part of the things that they encounter that are, like, obstacles to finishing the game are their own weaknesses. And so they have these strengths and weaknesses. And so when I was thinking about, like, what else could have been plagues besides, like, the hippopotamus or the rhinos or whatever it is, it's also, like, for Kevin Hart eating cake. He was allergic to cake. Like, and so that was something that killed, you know, all of those, like, individual things, which I think is interesting.
Right. And I mean, the model of, like, having lives definitely adds to it, where, like, they use that to their advantage a couple times of, like, killing someone off in order to... like, move the game forward.
Or, like, self-sacrificing in order to get where you need to be. Like, that's the entire end scene of, like...
Exactly.
When you die and you respawn, you fall from the sky, and she had to get something up high, so she killed herself in order to fall. Yeah. Genius.
I did have an issue with the bodies. We can talk about it. Right now?
Yeah, right now.
So here's my issue, is that the three main people, there are four characters, main characters in the movie, and it's The Rock, Kevin Hart, and Jack Black are three out of the four. And then what's the woman's
name? Karen Gillan.
Karen Gillan, who I don't know anything about.
She is most famous for being in Doctor Who.
Okay. Anyway, so, like, she's not a comedian, and she's not really given anything funny to do in this movie. The, like, funniest thing is that she, like, her skill is dance fighting. And so, like, at some point she has to, like, she distracts these two guards by dance fighting. But, like, and they kind of mention, she's like, why am I wearing this in the jungle? But, like, there are two girls and two boys in the opening scene, and one of the girls ends up in Jack Black's body. So you, like, lose out. And it's like, Jack Black does, we talked about, like, a really good job of having kind of, like, a gentle, like, he's not, like, overly acting like a girl. I think he does it, like, just right.
Right. It doesn't feel like he's making fun of teenage girls. It feels like he is, like, mamash embodying a very specific teenage girl.
Right. It feels authentic.
Yeah.
But it's just a bummer that, like, the three of them get, like, a lot of jokes together, and that, like, there just isn't that for the female character.
Right.
And specifically the scene, and, like, this scene is funny, but like there's no way they would have to pee in a video game. It's just so they can talk about the fact, like, so they can make dick jokes.
Yeah,
like
that's a look, I think that like I understand the annoyance by it. I think that one of the things that this movie does surprisingly well is like it sets up the characters so well in the opening scenes before they get sucked into the game. So that when by the time Jack Black takes over this girl's body, it doesn't feel like he's a man. Like it feels like he's just a 16-year-old girl who happens to look like that. Mm. And like I think it's really hard for movies to get me to invest in characters that quickly. But it manages to do so. But so by the time they're sucked into the game, I understand them. Like I sort of like I care about who they are because like they have very clear arcs that they're about to go through.
Yeah.
But I do agree with your point of like the fact that there is only one woman out of the four main Avatar characters is supposed to be like there's usually only one playable female character and she's wearing very like scantily clad clothing. But it is the question of like at what point are you making commentary on like bad stereotypes that exist, and at what point are you like contributing to those things in an unconscious way? Because like you said, they address it once that she's wearing like really scantily clad clothing.
Right.
They don't really address that there's only one. It's more of like a meta thing that there's only one female character that it's playable in the game.
Right.
And those things don't really come up again. But I will say in the second movie that she has more airtime.
All right.
But they also do introduce a horse as a playable character, so that's not saying much. I also really like the sequel. Like, it's fun. Like, these movies are so fun.
Yeah.
And I think that, like, that's sort of what the, like, original Jumanji misses. Maybe it's, like, minus, like, the way that I remember it from being a child. But, like, I was too scared to enjoy the movie I was watching. And watching it back now, because I didn't have the enjoyment aspect as a child, like, I didn't really look forward to anything. It was kind of just like, eh. It was like an eh movie for me.
I enjoyed watching it. I think definitely part of it is the nostalgia factor. And I mean, Robin Williams is just he's so fun fantastic. To watch. And it was fun. I thought Kirsten Dunst was good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I liked imagining this as like a Halloween costume. Like, I feel like you could do a really good Halloween costume of like a girl with like the bat on her shoulder.
Yeah.
But it's just like not so widely known anymore. That would be like really niche.
Yeah, that's fair.
But I liked it just fine. But you're right that it's not like as far as like, I think the humor in the new one is like just the right amount, like where it's like not like it could just so easily be like such a dumb movie. And it's just like it's good. Yeah, it's like, and again, they're both, I would watch both of them anytime.
It's perfectly enjoyable. And I think one of the things is like it knows exactly what it is, right? It knows it's a bit ridiculous.
Yeah.
And it plays into that. And that being said, like the villain character is a scary character as well. Like, so I think it acknowledges the elements it has, and it does those all of those elements like surprisingly well.
Yeah, I really felt like the new one felt kind of like the Breakfast Club in a way,
right? Like
because it's like they then are friends afterwards, obviously. But
yeah, and like they meet in detention, and
yeah, I thought both were also interesting questions of like, can you affect like how does like taking one person out of the world like affect a future world or not, right? Like
in terms of like how films play with timelines, the ending sort of frustrates me, where it's sort of like, because spoiler alert, they save Nick Jonas's character who's like stuck in the video game, but then when they exit the video game, he like got ejected back into the 90s, and so then he lived the rest of his life.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? If that had happened, like, they should come out to, like, the apocalypse, because everything would have changed. Like, it's not just that one part of the timeline. Everything else is the same now. Crazy.
Right. Well, and in the Robin Williams one, it turns out that the kid's parents haven't died.
Yeah.
Because, like, who knows what the circumstances are. But they make a comment. They're like, oh, we were thinking about going to Canada to go skiing. And they're like, don't. Because, like, that's how they died in a car crash and whatever. But, so, yeah, I thought that. And it seems like Robin Williams then hired Kirsten Dunst's father to, like, work for him.
Right.
And that's, like, then how they ended up, like, connecting back with the kids.
Yeah.
Which was interesting.
Yeah. Also underrated, Tom Hanks' son is in, like, Colin Hanks plays grown-up Nick Jonas.
I just think that is such a funny casting to go from Nick Jonas to... what, Colin Hanks? Yeah.
Funnier than going from Zac Efron to middle-aged Matthew Perry.
Oh my God, that one's also really funny.
In 17 again.
Equally funny. They're equally funny. Do you think, like, you get any say in, like, who plays an older or younger version of you?
No, I don't think you do.
Who would you want to play an older version of you?
How old?
70.
I feel like saying Meryl Streep is a cop-out.
I was once told I look like a young Meryl Streep, so I was going to say Meryl Streep.
If we go older than 70, I'd say Julie Andrews.
Interesting.
Based on the fact that I love her and she is wonderful.
Do you think she would, you know, stoop to doing an Australian accent, though?
Yes.
Hmm.
I think she would.
To play you.
I reckon I would start, if I knew that Julie Andrews was going to play me in a movie in the future, I would start right now speaking in a posh British accent so she wouldn't have to do an Australian accent.
Wow.
I would do that for her.
I would do that for you too,
Jay Andrews.
J-A. Who would play a younger version of you?
Oh. McKenna Grace. I don't know. Okay. Plays a young version of everyone. I think I just need to revisit this again. Jack Black playing the teenager. Fantastic. So funny. Like, it's the highlight of the whole movie. Because it's also, like, the things, I guess, that, like, that happen because of it. Like, Jack Black flirting with Nick Jonas, which
is funny.
Very funny.
Again, I have a lot of trouble with, like, that kind of, like, making fun of stereotypes of teenage girls. Like, I just, like, I hate the idea of, like, the vapid popular girl who, like, doesn't have anything else going on besides social media in her life, and her only skill is flirting. And then the, like, nerdy, like, less attractive girl who, like, I don't know. I just, like, don't like the way that those characters are pitted against each other. Obviously, there's, like, a nerdy boy and, like, a not nerdy boy, but...
But I think that this movie, like, Dufka does the opposite, right? Where it's like you think that there is a setup, but then, like, those characters' resolutions, instead of, like, butting heads the whole time, like, they very early on figure out in the game that they don't really know each other and they're judging each other for no reason, and, like, they have aspects of each other that they like. And the way I saw it, I was like, this doesn't do the very classic thing of pitting two girls against each other. And it sort of, like, corrects a lot of those stereotypes that usually happen, in which they are working together, and by the end of it, they are friends. And, like, even in the game, like, they have a mutual respect for one another. Like,
they definitely become a team. Yeah, I guess I'm more thinking about, like, just gender dynamics in general.
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't love it. It doesn't... I wish that there were, like, other ways of dealing with something like that. I don't know. It just seems like cheap jokes, like... Yeah. Make dick jokes. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. It's just like, I don't think this movie was ever, like, gonna solve gender dynamics in film.
Right. And, like, there's also this moment where you could, like, whatever, like, somebody I was talking to, they were like, must be weird to, like, end up in a body that has a penis when, like, you don't have a penis normally. And I'm like, I wonder how trans people feel.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
it was just like, kind of, there's, I think maybe, and again, in hindsight, I feel like the movie could maybe have played with that a little bit more different way. But they don't do anything that's, like, damaging. And, overall, it's definitely, like, better, I think, than, like, the arc of Breakfast Club. Like, they come out all being friends, but it takes them a lot longer to kind of, like, break through those things. So you're right.
Also, very underratedly, is that Nat Wolff's character is Jewish. And we only know this because he looks like a nerdy Jewish boy. And also at different points in the movie, he says "Oy vey" and "L'chaim."
That is funny to come out of the rock's mouth. It's good.
Also, in the next movie, I think you should watch the sequel. Like, just whatever. I don't know if you'd enjoy it or not. I would be interested to hear. They add Danny DeVito and
Can't tell if it's a prank. I can't tell if it's a prank that you're telling me to watch the sequel.
I've seen the sequel, like, twice.
I know how your pranks work, and this is just exactly how they work, and I don't want to fall into the trap.
No, I genuinely, like, cross my heart. I think that's a Christian thing. I saw it on IMAX, but, like, one of those weird, like, surround screen IMAXes where it's like the screen goes, like, all the way around the sides as well. And it was like, I'm like, that's how movies should be seen. Damn. Mm. Like, it was really cool. It wasn't for every single scene, but, like, for the really big jungle scenes, it expanded around the sides. And then I watched it on a plane because I'm like, it's perfectly enjoyable and funny.
Yeah.
And it sort of changes the locations a bit. So, like, it's not an exact rehash of, like, the jungle. It's a bit different and it feels different.
And Danny DeVito's in it.
Danny DeVito and Danny Glover are both in it. And, like, they play, like curmudgeon-y old men.
Love that.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
I was going to say, back to the prank thing, I saw Joe and Rachel and they had just listened to that episode.
Nice.
And they were like, I don't think either of you know what a prank is.
You've been pranked. I was just like, after the episode, I realized, like, I feel like I might be the Winston Bishop of pranks, like the prank Sinatra of, like, cannot judge how big or small a prank should be. Not as bad, but, like, in a similar way of, like, yeah. But I don't want to be the prank Sinatra. I don't want to be the Winston.
Okay, well, we can work on it. Do you want to pull a prank on someone?
Yeah, the second Jumanji is really bad. You shouldn't watch it.
That's not showing any growth, Shoshana. There is no character development here. Do you feel like the experience of the Egyptians felt more like the first Jumanji or the second Jumanji?
That's a good question. But who in the second Jumanji?
I guess my question is more like, is the experience of the plagues more like leveling up? Because
my brain is like, no, I have no idea what you're saying.
I guess I originally, okay, this is what I think. Let me answer my own question.
Okay.
I originally thought that it's more like the first Jumanji because the plagues are more like you just kind of have to get through them.
Right.
And then, like, the next one comes, like, it, and then it ends at some point, and then the next one comes. But I wonder if it's more like because they get progressively worse. Like, do you think the plagues in Egypt get progressively worse?
Yeah. I also think it's like as soon as you encounter the next thing, you're not only encountering the next thing, but you're living with, like, the trauma of what came before it. And I read a really interesting thing, like, literally before, a sicha from the Rebbe.
Mm-hmm.
Who spoke about the frogs and that part of it. I didn't read the whole thing properly, so I might be mixing it up, but basically, like, the whole thing with the frogs is that they just died where they were, and the Egyptians had these piles of body to clean, like the bodies of the frogs to clean up, and that there was, like, this huge stench attached to it.
Right, I remember that.
And,
like, I remember the stench. I was there.
Yeah. Remember the stench. And yet at the beginning, when I said my recap, you said it was like you were there. Not that you actually were.
It was so much like I was there that now it's in my collective memory. my collective memory, me and all my personalities.
What the Rebbe said was, like, that the frogs, it was about, like, the fear of what was happening. And then, like, the frogs also was, like, even when they weren't being loud and disruptive and they were dead, it's still, like, a symbol of fear.
Mm.
And so as you're always living with these reminders and, like, the fear of how terrible things were and how terrible things can still become.
Yeah.
And I think maybe that's more like the new one.
I did appreciate in the original one, though, that, what is it, Sally is the other girl who started playing the game with Robin Williams.
Oh, yeah.
That she had, like, done all this therapy and she was like, no, I spent thousands of dollars and thousands of hours, like, to convince myself that that didn't really happen.
That's really funny.
I just appreciate that, like, that is what would happen if you, like, had an encounter like that in childhood and were scarred from it.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that those three teenagers just walk out and then, like, go to school the next day, totally, like, it's fine. Nothing. Like,
yeah. Or the fact that, like, I don't know, Nick Jonas's character goes back and, like,
well, I guess we don't know.
We don't know.
That's potentially true. He went through intensive therapy.
Yo, I, like, saw the craziest Reddit story. Half of this stuff, like, I don't know how much of it I believe, but this guy was telling this story. It was
about,
like,
Nick Jonas?
No. It was like a what's the craziest thing that's happened to you thread.
Mm.
And this guy was like, he got hit on his head, at, like, attacked out of nowhere at college and hit his head and sort of, like, fell into a coma. And then woke up and, like, lived his whole life. This whole life he lived. And he had a wife and he had kids. And then one day he saw this lamp in the corner and the lamp looked really like it wasn't real. And he kept staring at it. And it sounds like a short story, but this guy wrote it like it was true. And basically he realized that, like, he literally, like, was staying up all night, like, looking at this thing that just looked super like it shouldn't have been there. And he realized that the lamp was fake and he realized that his entire life was fake. And then basically, like, woke up and was on the ground with people above him and he was like back at university and he had just like hit his head and like had lived this entire lifetime in the space of being unconscious. But after that, he said like he mourned the family he had lost in that unconscious state.
That he had made up.
Yeah, that he had experienced like real life. Like Whoa. It wasn't just like that he had a wife and kids. It's that like he met his wife and he fell in love with her and they had kids and he lived like day after day.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy.
Isn't that super wild?
I was going to tell a story that felt similar, but now I realized there's really not. But this band that I know, the bassist, one of the musicians, I'm trying to remember, I think he was in a car accident and he had a traumatic brain injury and he like woke up from a coma and learned how to play. He had like savant syndrome and learned how to play the violin in 3 days. And now he plays violin.
That's
band.
Crazy. What band is that?
It's called Magic Giant.
Crazy.
It's kind of like folk pop. It's fun. They're fun. I like them.
Cool.
They're super fun. Like to see in person, they're like super dancey. I made my dad go with me to a show once and he was like, this isn't one of the things where people like hug each other, is it? And I was like, no. And then at the concert, they were like, turn to the person next to you and give them a hug. And I was like, sorry, dad.
That's really funny.
Yeah. Brains are weird.
They are weird. Speaking of brains, I think this might lead in nicely. Maybe not. Who knows? One of the things in this week's parasha that I mentioned at the top of the show, the four expressions of redemption, mm-hmm. being these like four words that God says that he will, like God will like take the Jewish people out. And this idea that like words are what like drives our stories forward. Like it's the whole story of Egypt is really important, but like the fact that we focus on the four, like the language of it and these four words, and then arguably that the story of Exodus does end at Har Sinai, which is also mentioned in this week's parasha. Cause like after Har Sinai, after Har Sinai, it sort of goes into this different story of us as a nation. And so like words are the things that sort of like God redeems us through.
Mm-hmm.
Similarly in Jumanji, Jumanji is a game that's ended by language, right? You can go through all of the motions of winning the game, but the only thing that really makes you win the game is when you shout Jumanji at the end. And that's like this verbal acknowledgement that you have won and that the game is over and you have been redeemed from it. And then if you want to go a little further, am I allowed to go a little further?
I guess. It's your podcast.
It's our podcast, Valerie. Just like also, I think the idea of like words being important is something that comes up a lot. And we have this idea that God created the world in 10 phrases, I'm pretty sure. But like creation happens through words. And words are the things that separates human intellect from animals and like our ability to communicate with one another and articulate our emotions and what we're feeling and thinking. And then Rav Soloveitchik has this idea that like language is autonomy and our ability to say what we think and know is like what gives us our autonomy as people. And then in Jumanji, we have these characters who are NPCs or like non-playable characters and the things that make them distinctive to the other characters is the fact that they only have the same few lines that they can say over and over again, and that tells us like the fact that they cannot talk off script and create new words is what tells us that they're not actually human and that they're part of the game.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
It just feels really weird when I'm talking like Torah and then I'm like, and then also in Jumanji,
yeah,
it is similar in that
this. I'm also, it reminds me so much of Westworld where they like create this AI and then like at some point the AI is so good that like it becomes like the characters become sentient, right?
Or Blade Runner with like the Revenants.
Yeah, I haven't seen Blade Runner.
Bro, you haven't seen Blade Runner?
I know.
It's a lot. We had to watch it in high school, like the original one, like the director's cut we watched. And it's also crazy, like they don't know if they are these robots or these AI things.
Right. Or like there's a book, Never Let Me Go.
Stop. Yeah. That's like one of my favorite books.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in that book, it's like these people are being grown to be like organ transplanters, right? Yeah. There's a lot of
organ donors.
Yeah. Well, sorry. That's
huge
what I
spoilers for a book from 11 years ago, but still.
Yeah. I mean, there's like actually a lot of pop culture on How Did This Get Made? I listened to an episode like over the summer where it was about, they called real humans meat bags, I think. Maybe I'm mixing up two movies. Anyway, but it was like the same thing where it's like you have like a second version of yourself so that you have like spare organs or spare parts and so that like whatever. And so, yeah, there's like a big moral question there, obviously, of like, yeah.
Yeah, what makes us put, like, are we human or are we dancer?
Well, and I think, like, are we human or are we...
Revenant.
Oh, okay.
I said dancer because it's the song lyric.
Okay. I was going to say, it's something that comes up for me a lot when we do Torah study of, like, what are the things that make us human versus not human?
For sure.
And, like, in what ways are we, like animals and... In what ways do we like overcome our animalistic tendencies in order to be more godlike?
Yeah, for sure.
This is kind of a sidebar, but someone this week is hosting Wednesday night. Have you heard about this? To watch The Matrix, the original, and then to go see the new one on Thursday night.
Nice. I haven't heard about this. Also, they're showing the original Matrix at Yes Planet.
Oh, cool. So we could see it in a theater.
So like, yeah, you can, or they, at least they have been in the past like couple of weeks.
Interesting.
So you can see the original on the screen.
This was something that someone was complaining about, that like movie theaters in Israel are so weird that you can kind of just like see random movies from like 5 to 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. Like just like, but not with any sort of like planning in process. It's like not things that people actually liked or anything. Just it's just random. Like, we just happen to have these reels. And so like, we're going to show this movie.
Yeah. Also, they just cancel movies that you plan on go see, and then you make a time and you rock up to the theater, and they said, no, we canceled this showing 2 hours ago. And I said, well, oh, I checked 3 hours ago and it was still on. That's so weird.
That's so weird.
Based on a true story.
Remember when I was like, yeah, you know, the cultural experience of going to an Israeli movie theater, and everyone made fun of me? Turns out there is a cultural experience, and you had it. What? And this person I talked to last night had it.
I always think that there is. Seeing a movie with an Israeli crowd, it's like completely different.
Thank you. Great. Yarden, do you hear that? Yarden made fun of me. Oh, it's Yarden.
Okay. No, 100%. Like,
I have one friend, okay? And it's my girlfriend.
They make two, like, Israelis make so much sound in the theaters, and I'm half convinced it's because they don't have to hear the dialogue. They can just read it on the screen.
That's funny.
Also, just is general Israeli demeanor is to be loud and disruptive.
Reactive.
I saw the new Spider-Man. I will not give any spoilers, but, like, every time something happened on screen that was very exciting, the entire place went crazy.
That's funny.
And then I went with Shira and Isaac, and Isaac started joining in, and like they started at certain points they started like chanting names, but like in a really thick Israeli accent, and like everyone was like, we were all doing it along, and it was just like, I like, usually I hate that stuff, but it made it really, really enjoyable. Like, it was fun.
There can be a really fun communal aspect to seeing a movie.
Yeah. I also like haven't been to a movie in like almost a year and a half, 2 years. But I will say the opposite to that I had that was a really fun communal experience was when I went to see A Quiet Place, the first one, and it was hafuch. It was like completely the opposite in that just I've never had such silence in a theater, because everyone was shit scared, and everyone was like holding their breath because everyone like on screen was holding their breath.
Oh my god,
it was crazy. Anyway, do we have any other parallels?
What is happening out there?
I don't know.
You mentioned Pharaoh's heart was hardened and stone heart. Okay, it's really an eye that they have to return to leave Jumanji.
Yeah, well, there's a stone thing involved.
There is a stone thing.
In both.
You're right. Not in the original Jumanji.
No.
I mean, it's funny because Kirsten Dunst does say at one point, she's like, it's not like there's any skill involved.
Nice. Yeah, and but like, there is, because it's so much skill.
Well,
in escaping animals.
Skill in escaping the animals, yeah. Yeah, Robin Williams wrestles a crocodile, alligator, crocodile, I don't know. And Yarden turned to me and she was like, would you do that for me? And I was like, yeah, of course.
Would you?
In the moment, maybe. I don't know.
Maybe.
I don't know. It depends on like how much caffeine I'd had that day. Like,
have you seen that meme from like last year of like asking your partner if they'd love you if you were a worm?
No.
You should ask Yarden that. So one of the things I learned this week about frogs. I had like a very long thing that I like put together in my head that I quite enjoyed, but I won't get into it all. Basically, the frogs are a metaphor for Bnei Israel, but I won't get into that. I will get into that Rashi has a commentary that comes, because when it basically, when it says that God is like, these, there will be frogs,
mm-hmm.
and describes it as happening in Pharaoh's house and in Pharaoh's bedroom and in Pharaoh's bed and in the house of the servants and then for the rest of the nation. And so it sort of like separates Pharaoh but from the other people, and Pharaoh comes before it affects the other people. Mm-hmm. And Rashi looks at this and Rashi says, it's like that because Pharaoh was the one who sort of like poisoned the Egyptians against Bnei Israel. And we saw that in like the opening chapter of Shemot, last week's parsha, where Pharaoh basically gives this propaganda speech that turns the Egyptian nation against the Israelite nations, and that causes them to be enslaved. And so Rashi turns it into what we call like midah keneged midah, right? Like
mm-hmm.
that this action like equally corresponds to the other action. It's like an eye for an eye type yeah. thing of like, there's a, like a correlation between action and punishment type thing. It's a bit of like a stretch to how I connected it, but I think it's just like a storytelling device, right? Of like the story arcs of these main characters, in that their arcs, like they encounter the things along their journey that allow them to grow and that correspond to their needs. So it's sort of the opposite, right? Where it's like, and this is just like a narrative device at all, like this is how characters grow in a story, is that they have things about them that should be changed, or that happens a lot of the time, and they encounter those obstacles that then help them grow. But I think it's just very, very obvious in this movie, one, because teenagers, two, because it's Jumanji, mm-hmm. and they're like in this very different way, but sort of like the opposite of getting punished midah keneged midah, but like the obstacles that you encounter are the ones like sort of like your opposite that allow you to grow in a specific way.
Nice.
That was my little
cool
drush. I do have another question for you though.
Okay.
If you were a character in the Jumanji video game, what would your strengths and weaknesses be? First, I'm going to cough before you answer, okay? And you can cut out the cough, though.
That was a big boy.
Nailed it.
Okay. My strengths would be...
talking.
Yes. I was going to say leadership, but sure. anything verbal.
Cool.
Okay. Yeah. Weaknesses, maps.
Okay. What about seeing things? Because you wear glasses.
Well, but I... okay, sure. Seeing things. That's rude.
Why? You have glasses. It's an observation.
I do.
I think one of your strengths would be communicating specifically with cats.
Okay. Yeah.
Like you could speak cat.
Yeah, I definitely could.
Yeah.
Cat whisperer.
Yeah, sure. Another strength, setting up podcast equipment if they need it in the Jumanji game.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Now do I have to tell you your strengths?
You don't have to.
Okay, what would yours be?
I don't know what my strengths would be. I feel like sarcastic quips, is that if that's allowed. Sure. Comic relief, if that's a strength that can be allowed.
Mm-hmm.
Weaknesses would definitely be like, I cough a lot and I'm allergic to cats.
Those are weaknesses.
I don't do well in the cold or the heat, so I don't know.
Same, bro.
So I need to be in like a very, like, you know, like very like just medium temperature, or else I'll die.
Like we talked about, I'm an in the tent kind of boy. Yeah, you know,
tweeting.
Yeah.
Making memes.
Yeah.
All vital for survival in the jungle, I will say. Vital.
Buying gray half zips.
Hell yeah. Quarter zips.
I'm so sorry. Oh my God. Okay. This is what we should have talked about.
No, I don't want to talk about you being mean to me. I want to talk about
Shoshana comes up to me at a party this weekend and goes, you like my new shirt? I'm like, you already owned that shirt.
First of all, it was a jacket. Second of all, no, I don't. Just because it's the same color as something else I own doesn't mean it's the same.
And worn in the same way.
Open?
Open over another shirt. Yeah,
I think that's pretty similar. How do you wear jackets if not open over a shirt, Valerie?
It's like the same type of look, right? Oh of like God. An open it's button
ridiculous.
Up.
Ridiculous.
Versus like...
First of all, one is a blazer. One is a linen blazer.
Uh-huh.
And the other thing was not a blazer. And it was a jacket. And it was like a denim jacket, but it wasn't like blue denim.
You know who I'd like to have weigh in on this?
Who?
Gari Marshall.
Shut up. I'm moving on. Things from this movie that would have improved this week's parsha, according to me, Shoshana. One, teen romance would have spiced up the parsha. Two, Dwayne The Rock Johnson. 3, Jack Black, but specifically playing a teenage girl. 4, if you had read my summary of the movie, my thoughts, you would see the list. 4, video games. I think video games would have just spiced things up in this week's Pirate Show, like Pirates playing his video games and then the frogs hit. And lastly, Nick Jonas in a leather jacket.
You know what I think we don't talk about that much is that this Pharaoh actually like grew up alongside Moshe, right? Or would have been like his uncle.
Or his dad, yeah. Or do we know if it's a new Pharaoh that when he comes
because
back?
Because in the previous Parsha, it says that the Pharaoh dies and that there was a new Pharaoh.
Does the new Pharaoh enact, 1 second, you can cut out the waiting because I'm going to fact check. There's a new Pharaoh that comes up and doesn't know who Yosef was in last week, at the beginning of last week's Parsha, but that's before Moshe's born.
Right. So that's a different Pharaoh. And then that Pharaoh dies.
When?
Like partway through last week's Parsha.
You know the guy that plays Fridge in this movie is 30?
Oh, here we go. 223. Like a long time after the king of Egypt died.
Yeah. Okay. Nice. Oh, I do remember that. And that's when they like cried out.
Yes.
And that's when God heard them.
I knew something in the text that you didn't know.
I forgot about that.
I win.
We actually spoke about that in class, about like why did it take until this Pharaoh died that
that's what
triggered them crying out. It's because like they might have stopped work, and like it's only once you stop and like have a second to breathe and think about it that you like actually react to things.
Nice. Okay, should we do some casting?
No, back to your original point, because you can cut all of that out almost at the time in silence.
What was my original point? Oh,
that Moshe would have grown up alongside this person.
Yeah, which is also like totally changes like the dynamic, I think, and it makes it more like the Prince of Egypt, right? Because they're supposed to be like contemporaries. But I think it also then like this is a new Pharaoh who has to prove himself. Yeah. And so like it makes sense that like obviously God has a hand in this hardening of heart. But like if somebody that you grew up with then came back and is like, I need you to free all my slaves because actually I'm with them. I guess I just think that like it changes the emotional component. Well,
in the very wise words of our friend Paige.
I know her.
You know Paige.
I just confused for Paige earlier.
She she brought up an interesting point, which is that like what the Prince of Egypt does essentially that our text doesn't is creates and fosters a relationship between Moses and Pharaoh.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a really, really interesting one.
Well, because it must be, because it's crazy that we don't get that in the it text. Yeah. Obviously, true. It's not the focus, but like, anyway, I think it's a good midrash, The Prince of Egypt.
It's great. It's fantastic. And we'll be watching it.
Yeah, if you're wondering why we haven't watched it yet, it's because we're planning to watch it for Pesach.
For Pesach.
So over Pesach, we'll
Bizros Hashem, we will still be doing this by Pesach.
Yeah, wow, I got a lot of questions from people about like, well, what are you going to do over the summer? What are you going to? I was like, we don't have a plan. You think we have a plan?
I'm really hoping you're not going to Poland.
Why? I want to go to Poland.
So that we can record the episodes that we need to record for the spring.
Yeah, I guess. We can do it over Zoom.
I guess. I guess.
I told people what our plans were for like some of the coming up like harder ones to do in Vayikra. And we threw around, you know, like maybe we could revisit things that had like lots of stories in previous parashah that we didn't get to address. And they're like, that's a cop out.
Nice.
Fat cop out. No, I can't do that.
Great.
Anyway.
Casting.
Casting Pharaoh. Casting
so we're
Pharaoh.
Casting Pharaoh.
Who are you casting for Pharaoh?
I'm going with Bobby Cannavale. Cannavale. I don't know how to pronounce his. Cannavale.
Married to Rose Byrne.
Yeah, he was in 9 Perfect Strangers.
He was in this movie.
He was in Jumanji, the new one. He's Nick's agent in Big Mouth, his voice. He's also in Homecoming. He plays something, a really intense character in Homecoming. Yeah. Kind of similar to the character that he plays in 9 Perfect Strangers.
Mm.
He is like tall and handsome and has thick eyebrows and thick hair. And I just think he like in this movie, he plays like a really dark character and I could really see him as a good Pharaoh.
My Pharaoh is Danny DeVito.
Oh my God. So Schmoat is just a comedy to you? It's a comedy to you?
Yeah. Again, back to the Frog Torah. the part where the magicians are like, we can do this too, and to prove it, I'm just going to add more frogs to this problem. And then, like, is that not hilarious?
Yeah.
Like, I literally was, like, laughing out loud reading Chumash today. That's cracks weird. Me up. It's funny. It's funny stuff.
It's so funny. So funny. Somebody said last night, they were like, but, like, Torah's not really romantic. And I was like, I'm sorry. Have you heard of Yitzchak and Rivka?
Have you heard of Shir HaShirim?
Well, yeah, that too.
The sexiest of the books.
Well, yeah, but that's not Chumash.
It's Tanakh.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think that's about it. I don't think I have anything else to say. Next week, do you want to tell them what we're considering watching?
What are we considering watching?
It was your idea, buddy. You came up with
Chicken Run?
No.
Oh.
You came up with the Gilmore Girls.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I forget.
I always forget. Okay, for the next, we're watching an episode of Gilmore Girls from the first season where Rory and... Wow, I completely forgot about this. That was a genius move on my part.
I mean, I came up with the Torah analysis, but sure.
Well, yeah. But I came up with the pop culture pairing.
Yeah.
My point is that we're watching an episode of Gilmore Girls. Mm-hmm. I'll let you know which one it is.
And if you're thinking, how could they possibly connect that to that next week's Parsha? I'm thinking the same thing. So
it's going to work. It's going to work. Chad Michael Murray. We're watching. It's the first season. So Chad Michael Murray's in the picture. She's dating Dean.
Yeah. We always make it work somehow.
Tim Gunn, baby. Make it work.
Alrighty. Thanks for listening. Oh, no one sent us voice notes this week. Disappointed. And Chloe never sent us videos of a child or a photo of a child.
I mean, that could be for like personal security reasons.
It's for rude reasons, I'll tell you that much.
Chloe, I respect your decision. Maybe she hasn't listened to last week's episode. Okay, bye everyone. Okay,
bye.